John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello there. Thank you for downloading this week's podcast. Should I stop saying that? Do you know I'm very aware of saying things that make me sound old? And I think people don't download podcasts anymore. Do they always stream them? You just stream them.
Do you? I don't know.
Thank you for taking me into your ears.
No, don't say that, John.
No? Okay.
No.
Stick with downloading it.
Yeah,
thanks for downloading this week's podcast. It's John Richardson here, as ever, with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Will and Charlie with us. Good show this week. Exceptional work on the voice notes. So if you listen to the podcast, you get in touch, and then you get in touch with a voice note. We open with some absolute crackers, don't we?
Really do.
Business. We're all across the country. Different kinds of people, every one of them hilarious. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Love
thank
our listeners.
You. Thank you for getting in touch. It's John at Absolute Radio. If you're listening along and you want to join in, it's a very personal show this
it's
week.
Very you, personal. A little bit. We both sort of say things about ourselves, don't we? We go back in time a bit and revisit some traumas.
Yeah,
words,
anyone thinking of wronging Angela Barnes would be well advised to listen to the latter part of this week's podcast. And we start a new feature about Britpop, where because I was a young teen at the time and not around for a lot of it, I'm going to tell you what I was doing instead of going to some of the most seminal gigs of all time in this country.
it's a lot sadder than...
Yeah, spoiler alert, a lot of crying in my bedroom. But we'll get to that over the next few weeks. Thanks for downloading. Enjoy the podcast.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
Good morning. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes, who
right.
is looking lovely.
Oh, John, that's twice you've said that on air now. I'll get it in writing next.
Yeah, we'll see. Will and Charlie here as well. Now, I like you, Angela.
Thanks, John.
Said it before. I was going to tell you what you've done this morning.
Oh, no. What have I done?
Well, it's pleased me what you've done this morning.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
Because there's a little WhatsApp group for this show because we're professional.
Yeah.
Very often you'll get a message that will say something like, bit of bother on the trains, I'm going to be late. It's a rare kind of person who messages to say, bit of bother on the trains, I'm going to be on time. And that is because Angela Barnes knows that on time is late and early is on time. It was a wonderful thing to update that you were still going to be on time is wonderful stuff.
Thanks, John. I'm glad you appreciate that, John, because some people don't when you give the regular updates on your movements.
Well, those texts we need to talk about because they don't want those. Not in the group chat anyway. Although the pictures are certainly unnecessary. Anyway.
I'm a healthy girl. What can I say?
Every week we tie up the loose ends from last week's show. I've got a feeling that what we've just done will be at the start of next week's show. But never mind. If you weren't listening last week, this about sums up what we got up to. I wouldn't make a trip to smell a ferret. There you go.
Do you know, I wanted to mention this because I listened to the podcast from last week and I thought Kerry did very well in all the chat about how you know what a ferret smells like. She never once mentioned the fact you're northern. That's kudos to her there, because that's the first thought. Of course he knows what a ferret smells like. He's from the north.
Yeah. Even worse that you saved it up all week as well. I'm going to get it in first link. We did discuss ferrets a fair bit last week. Kerry was oddly surprised that I'd smelt one before. She very boldly said that they can't possibly smell worse than skunks. And the listenership of this show will not allow the sort of unsubstantiated claim like that to be aired. So Jan has been in touch with a correction.
Hi, John. I know you and Kerry got into a big debate about the smell of ferrets and skunks on last week's show. I just wanted to clear it up a bit. I completely agree with you, John. Ferrets really do stink. But contrary to popular belief, skunks themselves don't stink, only when they spray through nerves or defence. I hope this clears things up a bit. Thanks, Jan.
That isn't happening on any other radio show in the universe, is it? That just isn't happening anywhere else. I love the listeners of this show.
Good old Jan. I know all about skunks because, like skunks, I also only spray when frightened. One thing we've learned for the last few weeks, if you make a mistake on air, as Kerry has just learned, if you are a practicing pedant, people will notice. I said something last week. Robert noticed. Here's what he says.
Hi, John. I actually want to address some unfinished business from last week's unfinished business. As you were tying up the loose ends last week, you mentioned something very unique happened. Of course, the word unique means one of a kind, and therefore there can, by definition, be no degrees of uniqueness. Just wanted to flag this to you. I find the show to be pleasantly tolerable. All the best, Robert.
I love our listeners. I love them, John.
Oh, yeah. Good old Robert. Well, now, what I'm tempted to say in my defence is that if it was in unfinished business, what I'm probably doing is reading messages that have come in. It's possible I don't take any responsibility for that.
But the thing is, John, you're the one saying it out loud on the radio. You have to take responsibility.
I'm going to accept the correction because I actually have been picked up on that very thing before, and I've got a feeling that Very Unique is the sort of thing that has slipped into my parlance. Robert, I can only pledge to try and get better, but I've been a comedian for 22 years now and it hasn't happened yet, so don't hold your breath. However, if I say anything that upsets you this week, get in touch anytime. It's John at absoluteradio.co.uk. So, Angela, you weren't here last week.
I was in the lakes.
You are. What a place.
Yeah, and I was literally in a lake.
Did you go in a lake?
I went in the only lake in the Lake District, John.
Oh, that's the fact, isn't it?
That's the fact about Bassenthwaite.
I've got to a stage in my life where everyone around me knows that fact, and that's probably because I say it a lot and the people I hang around with are of a certain vintage. Do you think if we told that fact to Will and Charlie, we'd get the response it deserves?
Almost certainly.
Go on, you tell them it now and I'm going to watch their faces and see if it lands.
Bassenthwaite Lake in the Lake District is the only lake in the Lake District. Because the others are waters or meres.
Oh, wow. That was...
Do you know what? They glazed over like I was a grandma at Christmas dinner telling them about their week.
Charlie actually gipped. I think she has a bit of a bilious response to that. For me, I don't want to tell you. I'll tell you how to do it, but I think you've got to open by saying, did you know there's only one lake in the Lake District?
Yeah, I got it all topsy-turvy there. I didn't have prep time, that's the problem.
Will's face now, you see. You say that, you've got him.
Gosh!
You know there's only one lake in the Lake District?
Yeah.
They go, shut up.
And it's cold.
Yeah, they are cold.
Yeah, I got in it. But apparently it's the warmest one because it's the shallowest.
Right.
And it was still only 11 degrees.
That's the opposite of me. I'm shallow and yet very cold.
Charlie's got her head in her hands, John.
You don't want a bit of lake banter on a Saturday morning.
I'm a middle-aged woman talking about outdoor swimming. What?
I say he was enjoying it. Robert.
Yes.
Robert is thinking that is a unique fact, but not a very unique fact.
That's gone in his book.
There can be no such thing.
He's written that
down. And what
you
did there, you finished your current leg of the tour, didn't you? Because I saw you on Sunday and you had a real spring in your step.
I was giddy on Sunday.
You were.
I think when I saw you on Sunday, I was already 2.5 pints in. I think, is the truth of the matter. I'd done the matinee gig. We were at a comedy festival, the brilliant Bicester Comedy Festival on Sunday, and I'd done the gig in the afternoon with Russell Howard, and you were doing the evening gig. So by the time you turned up, I was D-mob happy.
I would usually ask how your gig went, but I know exactly how your gig went because you were still at the venue 2 hours later. And let me tell you, I've done gigs that have gone so well that I leave from the stage and get straight in my car. So I think you're hanging around 2 hours after you've been on. It's gone well for you.
It was a nice gig. They were a nice audience. It was fun. Yes. It was all nice people we were hanging out with. What a great day.
Can I just air some real unfinished business? Because it was a lovely gig run by lovely people with a mostly lovely audience. But in the evening show, there was some disturbance.
Oh,
yes,
there was.
Yeah, it's always people down the front, you see, because they forget there's people behind them.
Yeah.
And they just think they're in a sort of private entertainment TP. And sometimes I'll say to them, can you just, without being rude, can you just turn around? And that all those other people are also listening and they don't care about your life.
Yeah.
And that's quite a nice way of doing it. I think that's me being nice. Anyway, this person who was talking was from Hungary. So I prepared a heckle put down in advance.
Oh.
And then the person got ejected and I was fuming because I
you didn't
secretly
get to do it.
I was going to say, what do you do if somebody from Hungary is talking in your gig? You boo the pest.
Oh, John!
That's not bad, that is it?
That is stunning.
And I never got to use it. So
I'm glad you've heard that now, because what a shame that would have been if nobody had ever heard you say that.
There you go. I'm going to tell you what else is coming up, and it's not just petty grievances that I've stored up for a week. We've got a full 3-hour packed show, and it can only get better for Charlie, and I think that was her least favourite link we've ever done on radio, judging from her face. Geography-based banter at the beginning and a geography pun at the end. Absolutely horrific. It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes about to welcome in your rules, because we've taken it upon ourselves to set rules for behaviour nationwide.
Oh, love this.
We've done pubs, we've done public transport.
This is my dream. This is what I've always wanted to do, is put my rules forward, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had some in already. I have to declare, usually I have a sort of, skin in the game, I believe is the phrase.
Yeah.
This is an education for me because I don't go to festivals. It's not going to surprise anyone to know. It's
You're not queuing up for the Portaloos three days in, covered in mud.
Do you know one of the things I struggle with? And what's interesting about the messages we've had in, usually when we do these, they're very vitriolic. And I say, oh, give us your rules for public transport. It's don't cut your toenails, turn your music off, get the keyboard sound off your phone, all that stuff.
Yeah.
These are actually... There's something about the sort of people who go to festivals that mean these are genuine tips on how to have a good time at a festival that we've had in so far.
Which is quite nice, isn't it? There are more tips than this is what I hate.
Yeah. Well, this is why I don't go to them. And it's not, it's because I'm the downer and you're surrounded by people who are having such a good time and all clubbing together. It's a bit like when I went to Disney. It's all fake, but you're pretending to be really invested in everybody having a good time.
Yeah.
And there's something about festivals that it's those kind of people. And I think, oh, I don't want to be the one saying, oh, we won't get, we'd be too far back for that band and you're not going to finish while 12 and then everyone's going to be going to the tents at the same time.
Yeah, I don't want to go to a festival with you.
No, you lot have your fun. I'll catch them when they go on tour with a roof.
The thing is, like, you know you're going to get... People can moan about being ripped off at a festival, but if you go in there going, I'm going to be ripped off, you know, that's just part of the festival thing. You just have to get over that because it's not going to not happen. But I'll tell you what, I do have a thing that really winds me up at festivals. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
People who,
that's
in
it?
The campsite, right, bring a guitar... to a festival and sing in the campsite. How arrogant are you? Like, everyone in that campsite has come to see a load of professional musicians at the top of their game, and you think you singing Wonderwall drunk as a skunk in the campsite is what people want? Leave your guitar at home. They've brought guitars. They've got the music is covered. We don't need yours. Thank you.
Oh, there we go. Well, after a conversation about how this might be a little bit too sweet and well-meaning, absolute vitriol from Angela Barnes.
Will's with me, aren't you, Will?
100%.
Yeah,
oh, I'm
it's
totally
so annoying.
With you. Don't bring a joke book to a comedy show, and even though it's slightly unrelated, don't bring a trumpet or a drum to a football match either.
Yeah.
Will, there's atmosphere there already. And
do
if
people
there isn't,
still have Vuvuzelas? Remember when they were a thing for a bit after the World Cup in South Africa,
wasn't
it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So... I totally agree. So let's have that as our first rule. If you're not in a band, no musical instruments to be brought onto the festival site.
Absolutely.
We'll continue. This came in straight away from my friend Tim, the fantastic writer Tim Reed. This is at the other end of the scale to yours. It's very short, but it's wonderful advice if you haven't thought of it. Put your wristband on the arm you don't wipe with. There you go.
Oh, yeah, because the tags dangle.
Oh, you
see.
Don't want the trail.
You don't want the dangling tags on your wiping hand. Oh,
so there
no.
we go. Yeah. Thank you to Angela for her hate, and thank you for Tim for his toilet-based admin. Keep those coming in, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. It is time for this week's one and only dedication on Absolute Radio. John Richardson is willing to accept that some people love each other, but he also
very
wants
gracious
to...
of you, John.
Yeah, I just want to sour that a little bit for people. So it's a dedication, ended with a little bit of pepper on there, grind a little bit of chili pepper into that wound. This week, it comes from Adam.
Morning, John. Morning, team. Thank you for giving me this week's one and only dedication. It's an honour to have been chosen. And as a fellow Lancastrian, I feel you may appreciate this one even more, John. So I'd like to dedicate this to my beautiful wife, Chantel, and my three amazing girls, Alyssa, Esme, and Daisy. I just want to say I love you all to the moon and back. But can you please stop slamming the front door? I swear you're all desperate to remove it from its hinges. And there's only so many more times I can patiently and politely show you the gentle method. And while we're at it, why do you all insist on loading the dishwasher like intoxicated blind chimps? It's not helpful. It makes me have to do more work, makes my life harder. Just work with me. Anyway, this is from your ever-loving husband and father, Adam.
I would like a pound for every time Adam has said, it's like Blackpool Illuminations in here. I would like it, because yeah. I reckon he said that more than once, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's nights he's camped out under that thermostat. No question. No question at all.
What a dad. Brilliant.
Yeah, there's only so many times I can show you the gentle method.
And you can see it, can't you? You can see that house full of girls just rolling their eyes as he's opening and closing the door in front of them.
I feel for because the front door as well, is there's no comeback. If it's an internal door, you can still be heard. So you can go, excuse me. Once they're out of the front door, they're gone. You're just shouting to yourself. Nobody's listening, Adam. I feel for you.
He's so outnumbered in that house, isn't he? What you want to get, Adam, is a boy dog, just so you got something, you know? Someone on your side.
I'm on your side, and I'm pleased to report that my entire stand-up career to this date has been nothing if not an instructional video on how to load dishwashers. So feel free to sit them down, put them in the living room, slam the door behind you, nip down the pub and put on John Richardson's greatest hit. let's be honest, there's only the one. It's only the one, and it's 20 minutes about not putting plastics in the dishwasher and turning bowls upside down. However...
Oh, my dishwasher would make you cry, John. It would make you absolutely cry.
Do you load the dishwasher then?
I do, and it really winds my husband up. And so yeah. I do it more because of how much it winds him up.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck is all I say. Good luck. So for Chantal, Alyssa, Esme and Daisy, this is to you from Adam. Although, personally speaking, I don't think you deserve a song until you've watched my entire back catalogue. Here you go.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show. Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. It's that time of the week when I'm horrible. I say time of the week. It's one of the times of the week when I'm horrible. To punctuate
the smugness.
It's
the time on air when you're horrible. What they don't see is that, you know, that continues off air.
Absolutely. This is actually me being charming horrible. Real horrible.
You really turn it on when we go on air, don't you, John?
Oh, absolutely. I say good morning before I start. Good morning. Now then.
Who's this guy?
What have you been up to? I'm excited because I always warm up by insulting my co-host. And Angela. Will turned to you just before we start and said, I hope your smugness is about your beach photos that you put online this week.
Well, it actually is. So
Will.
That's a bit worrying, isn't it? If you've been stalking my social media looking at photos of me on the beach. What I will say, John, before you get too disturbed, is in the photo Will's talking about, I am wearing a dry robe. Like, it's not... Not that sort of beach photo, because I'd just been for a swim in the sea. But my actual smugness then, John, do you want to hear it?
Yes, go on.
Okay,
yeah,
what it is, right, I'm going to set this up to make it hard for you to be mean. Because I don't, how can I say this? I don't get my face complimented very often. But I went to have my brows done this week. and the lady doing my brows, my eyebrows, she said that I had lovely eyebrows. And do you know what? I came out of there high as a kite. Because it just doesn't happen. I don't get compliments on my face. And she said my eyebrows were really soft and really lovely. And she could tell I hadn't overplucked them over the years. I'd looked after them well. And what lovely eyebrows I had. I won't mention the fact that she said, for my age, afterwards. but isn't that nice? I've got lovely brows.
Okay, where to start? what did you have done to your eyebrows?
So I had them shaped, threaded. And a little tint, because they were going a little tiny bit grey.
Are you getting grey brows?
A little tiny bit. But they're not now, because I've tinted them to make them look more natural, see?
Was this done for free?
No, I paid for it.
No. So do you...
I see where this is going.
Would you say perhaps someone to whom you are about to give money is best placed to give you a compliment... Regardless of the
state of your eyebrows? She could have just not mentioned how nice my brows were. She could have just done the job.
A bit weird in an eyebrow shop, though, wasn't it? Look, if that's what they call them.
The eyebrow shop. I went, I'll have that pair.
I'm going down the brow mongers this morning. In a way, she's doing herself out of trade. Because she could have walked in there and she'd have gone, you've got lovely eyebrows. She'd have gone, all right, then, see you later.
Yeah.
So it was quite brave of her, really.
What
she should have done is gone, my goodness, the state of them.
I'll sort you out.
How am I just seeing you for the first time now? You've been walking around with them hanging off your head for the last year.
You look like Dennis Healy. That's for anyone
anything for
over
Will
40
Charlie.
Listening.
Not as upset as the
blank faces in the studio. My Dennis
not the
Healy
anger
reference.
Of the lake fact, but it's still registered. Well, listen, I think we could all do with being a little nicer to each other. And I think a compliment goes a long way. And if you have to pay for yours... If you have to pay for yours and have them site specific according to the person you deal with, then far be it from me to take that away from
I've
you.
I've got Angela. A wax next week. I'm really nervous.
Park runners, early risers, shed cleansers, all you people, I come for you at this time of the week.
What about
Saturday,
potting
smugglers.
Shed cleansers?
Yeah, all
yeah,
them.
They're in, yeah, yeah, okay.
I got Kerry for that
you
last
got
week.
Kerry,
oh,
yeah.
I've tidied my shed out.
Yeah.
I've taken you down by virtue. You have got lovely eyebrows.
Too late,
now
John.
It's time
too
to
late.
Bring down a listener. It's always harder with someone I don't know. So let's see. This morning we're about to hear from George.
Now then, John. Today, I am the smuggest man in Nottingham. My name is George. I'm a carpenter and I've bought a new build house. I'm over the moon. For once in a blue moon, I've bought a house, a brand new house with no snags. Second of all, the post. All my post is coming straight to my house. I've sorted everything out and it's all the post is coming to my house. I don't need to go back to my old house to get it. Third thing, the house is massive. The biggest house on the road. The rest of them, they're just peasants. Today, Saturday, I'm cutting my new grass. The grass is perfect. I'm cutting it. I've got a brand new lawnmower that I'm using. And it's going to be like a putting green, this is. Generally, on top of the world right now. Lots of love, mate. See you in a bit.
You might not need to go back for your old post, but you better hope a parcel doesn't get redirected to your neighbours at your new house.
You're too right.
Wandering down your gated driveway to the peasant's house. Is there a parcel delivered? No, mate. Ain't seen nothing. It's
your
Nottingham
accent is spot on, John.
Well, you're sort of like if Shane Meadows suddenly got really happy in his later life and stopped making films about trauma. I'll tell you what, mate. I got myself a new lawnmower. I'm going to cut that grass right down. I'm telling you. I watched you last night sleeping. You look really comfortable. I hope you had nice dreams.
You've been arguing with 40 too long.
Yeah, you've got to get specific if you're going to really insult a friend. Well, George, obviously, it's a lovely feeling. That the first home is unlike any other feeling, isn't there?
Yeah.
We being a new build and all, you know, he's going in there, he's saying there's no snags.
I bet there are
six
snags.
Months, mate. Yeah. What's that? My Wi-Fi actually goes... So it goes through the neighbour's ass, right? Okay, so every time they flush the toilet, I can't download a video. Absolutely unbelievable. The snags are plenty in new builds.
They just take a while to come up. The drains in your nicely mowed garden, wait till they explode, mate. Oh, yeah. I'm here for it.
Up, she flushes toilet upstairs while I'm making a cup of tea. It all comes out of the tap. Absolutely unbelievable. I'm glad you think there are no snags, George. I look forward to you finding them. I look forward to you meeting the neighbours that you've already called peasants. And I look forward to you mowing the lawn. Not now, when you're going to use it in the summer, end of the year, when it's still growing. And you think, I'm not cutting it for the winter. And then you think it's too thick now. Mower's not going through that now. And you've got a horrible garden all winter. Enjoy your summer, George. So the smugness is over. The nation has been brought back down. We're all a team again. Now that we're united and bonded, I would like to go back to the rules for festivals. Festival season is fast approaching.
Yep.
Glastonbury will be on us soon. Do you know, very tempted for the first time to go to Glastonbury this year when I saw the headline, Glastonbury sells a few thousand fewer tickets to ease congestion.
Oh, John, you still would hate it. You've been though, right?
I assume they're down to like, what, they're inviting like 20 people or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's like a little intimate soiree now.
I haven't actually. It's one of the few festivals. So I've done Latitude, yeah. I've done Leeds and Reading, I've done V festivals. I mean, not as a like...
Punter.
Like, no. I've arrived on site
in
half
a helicopter,
an hour before.
Dropped you directly on the stage, picked you
Absolutely.
Up, helicoptered you out again, yeah?
Parachute in, tell my jokes about dishwashers, straight out again. But some of these tips sort of make me want to go. Mandy, I'm going to start with this one.
Okay.
Don't get wasted on the first night.
Good
obviously.
Tip.
Bring a watermelon.
Mm.
refreshing snack, especially when it's hot.
Yes, a hell of a lump to cart around,
it's
though, isn't it?
Big old thing to bring around. You're going to need some sort of cutting tool. But I think you're very popular on the campsite if you suddenly emerge from your tent holding slices of watermelon.
Carrying a watermelon.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing reference. No, they're looking at me blankly again,
no,
John.
Not for me. I'm with him there, I'm afraid. Have you got any tips for festivals?
Yes, I like Heidi, right? I don't think you'll like her tips here, but I do. Because her first tip is to make festival friends, which I think might be your worst nightmare, John.
Yeah.
Because she suggests these are a bit like holiday romances, but they only last the duration of a single set. So what you do is you go and watch a band or whatever, you make friends with the people next to you, and then she says, you know, they'll look after your space when you go for a wee and stuff.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say about that is, you know, don't leave your bags or anything with them because you haven't had long enough to assess whether they're going to run off with your bags.
No. These aren't, I'm what she's saying is chat to the people next to you because it's of benefit to you. So she doesn't sound like, oh, guys, you've got to make festival friends. But what she's saying is you have to manipulate as quickly as possible the people around you so you don't lose your space when you go to the toilet.
Exactly that, yeah.
I've had entire relationships like that that I thought we were friends have lasted about 6 minutes. I don't mind it, though. Lisa says, don't camp near the toilets.
Good tip.
Is it?
Yeah, because they get gradually smellier over the weekend.
Okay, so is there a perfect distance? Because I have a bladder of a certain size.
Well, you're a man, though, so there are, you know, more opportunities.
Oh, it's tragic life when that's a compliment.
Any opportunity to find that a compliment.
Yeah, I'm a man, you're saying.
You have opportunities to make that work. I'm just ignoring what you just did.
That's a song. I didn't just make that up.
Yeah, all right, John. Charlie's crying. You've got to check which way the wind's blowing because you don't want to be downwind of the toilets.
That's
where you don't want to be. You want to be near enough, like, if you want to go in the night. But what you could keep is just a little bucket or something by your tent and then deal with that in the morning. If you're a man, that's easy.
So you're saying don't camp near the toilets because
of the smell. I don't know if I can say this, but I think I'm about to. I've squatted over a pot noodle.
Was there not
a
kettle
nearby?
Is that
going to be unfinished business for next week? That's
okay. Will's giving me the helicopter gesture.
An empty one. No. Will would like us to move on, I think, John.
Listen, don't camp near the toilets. I'm not taking that as a tip because I would rather be near the toilets because I'm going to need them a lot. So I would say camp 110 metres away from the toilets, upwind. She also says always have wet wipes.
Yeah, that wet wipes is on my list.
Try and bring vegan snacks. I thought that's where our people congregated at the festival. I couldn't, move for a bean sprout, can you, at a festival?
Yeah, but you'll pay through the nose for it. So if you bring some vegan snacks, you see, that's what I think they're saying. What I would add to that is also paracetamol and Alka-Seltzer. They're your friends at a festival.
Yes.
Granola bars are good. Have one of them for breakfast. They keep, you know. And also a jar of peanut butter and wraps make a good little snack.
This has turned into a picnic. You know, you sound a little bit like Ratty from Winds in the Willows at this point.
John, look at me. I clearly think about food before I think about anything else at a festival.
This is my main concern. We should just go on a nice picnic and put some music on. That's what I think. But
bring
thanks
your guitar,
for your tips.
John, and you can sing to us all.
I will do. Don't you worry. I don't need a guitar. Did you not hear? I'm a man. Yes, I am. And there's only one lake in the Lake District. Bill! John at absoluteradio.co.uk. Will has just finished drawing an actual line in the studio, which I tell you what, me and Angela, we're right on it.
Oh,
we're right
dancing.
On it.
We're having a little boogie on that line, aren't we, today?
Charlie has tutted and given me an updated list of appropriate behaviours for Absolute Radio, for which I am grateful.
I think I'm a bit giddy. It's because the spring leg of my tour's done. I'm done till September and I'm all
touring,
giddy. I'm all wee. Come September, I'll be, you know, back
you
on the road.
You were all wee. You're not anymore.
Yeah.
I think there's more from Heidi, isn't there?
There is. Heidi who told us where to camp, not near the toilets. However, she also has a brilliant bit of advice.
Right, yes.
She says, always start rumours regarding who the TBC acts are.
Yes.
So, you know, Glastonbury or whatever, there's always like, oh, did you know Oasis are doing a secret set? So she says, just lie, just start a rumour. Bit of fun, innit?
Isn't that what I remember that, because I wasn't at Glastonbury last year, and even I was getting told who was going to come out during the final set. Oh, he's going to do a duet with someone. Guess who's just been seen on the back of a buggy coming out of their VIP tents. The most jealous I've ever been not to be at a festival was when the Pretenders did a set last year at Glastonbury.
That
looked exceptional. That was right up my alley, that. I was very jealous not to be there.
And
it was in the
amazing.
Afternoon, so I could have been back asleep in the tent by nine.
So rock and roll, John.
It was just the perfect timing. But yeah, I was very jealous then, I have to admit. Sam says, rules for festivals. Before pitching your tent, scan your neighbours for, you'll like this, Angela, guitars.
Yay, that's what I said.
Nobody wants to hear from someone who only knows three chords and is tone deaf.
And she also picked the same tune that I picked when I...
Wonderwall. It's obviously a thing.
What, they always play Wonderwall?
Yeah, especially this year. There's going to be a lot of that, isn't there?
There is.
Any more rules for festivals?
There is. Someone said, bring more alcohol than you think you need. I say bring less than you think you need, because come on, guys, you can have a good time without it.
That's come from Ethan, whose surname I guess is Ol. better to be safe than sober.
But
Lizzie says... This is on the subject of booze, and then we'll leave this because it's getting very boozy.
It is, and you know, we don't want to advocate that.
We have had a tip in about nappies, which we'll get to in the final hour. Don't start the alcohol until the tent is up. I think that's a good rule, not just for festivals, but for all camping. I think Bear Grylls would say exactly the same. Eat a warm cereal bar after escaping the heat of an oxygen-starved tent before you want to be awake.
Yes.
That's a good tip.
Yes.
These are very good. I think I'm taking that one for camping in general.
Do you go camping? I can't imagine.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say. I'm
no
taking
way,
it.
There's no way, is there?
No, because do you know what there are? Hotels and B&Bs and Airbnbs and various other options where you can have a flushable toilet. And if you come out of your tent and somebody else is there, you can't call anyone. If they're in your house, there are numbers you can call. At this time, on a Saturday, it can mean only one thing. We are sick and tired of people using the word literally incorrectly, so we set up the literal police to imprison those who do in literal jail. It's been another very busy week on the hotline. Two cases to hear today, including a fellow broadcaster.
Ooh.
If you think that'll stop me, you're sadly mistaken. Before we get to that, Louise has been in touch to report another offence.
Hi, Rico and Barnsley. I have a literal offence to report. I have to be honest, I'm not 100% sure whether it was, but would like you to investigate. The potential offence occurred on Celebrity Gogglebox, where Ellie Simmons and Richie Anderson were watching Rich Flavours. And Richie said they were literally singing for their supper. There was no singing whatsoever from the clip they showed. So can you decide if a crime has been committed? Thanks so much. Louise from Scarborough. Whoop, whoop!
Did Louise do the whoop whoop? Love
Louise
her.
Did the whoop whoop. She's in Scarborough. That's bonus points. Yeah. She's called us Rico and Barnsley.
That's a winner, isn't it?
I mean, it sounds from the description like it's an open and shut case.
Well, it depends what the programme is. Do they have to sing to get their supper?
It's all to do with the singing. Let's hear the clip in question.
Okay.
Joining me on this super rich safari is my cousin and most expensive friend, AJ Tracy.
They're a bit of everything, aren't they? Yeah. Chef, entertainment.
I know.
Now they're cousins.
I'm literally singing for their supper.
This is Big Zoo and AJ Tracy's Rich Flavours.
They weren't literally singing, were they?
There was no literal singing in that clip. They are discussing the varied skills of Big Zoo and AJ Tracy. So I guess it
will
come down to...
Are either of them singers? I don't think Big Zoo sings.
I don't think Big Zoo has got a recording contract. Do we have to look into this properly?
Does AJ Tracy have to rap stroke sing in order to be fed in the course of that TV show? That's what we need to know.
It'll be on my planner because I like to watch Celebrity Gogglebox and Gogglebox. I prefer the normal Gogglebox, not going to lie. You can't be funnier than Pete and Sophie. You just can't. I don't care who knows it.
I've never watched Celebrity Gogglebox.
And I'm saying that about myself. Nothing I ever said was as funny as Pete and Sophie. What I'm going to do, if it's okay with you, Louise, and you, Angela, I'm going to look into that properly. I'm going to research the show. I'm going to research the guests, and I will come back to you next week.
I think that's only fair. As much as we love Louise and we want her to be right, I think you've got to do due diligence.
Yeah, you've got to take this thing seriously. Otherwise, it's just like a silly thing you do on the radio on a Saturday morning.
What would be the point of that?
Because I have actual powers.
Yeah.
Now, Angela, I believe you are the person who spotted this next offence.
I did spot this one. It came up on Instagram. And do you know, I'm a little torn by it, John. We'll have a discussion afterwards. I'm torn by it because the clip features two people I'm very fond of.
Well, you can't let that get in the way of good police work.
Hey, I've submitted it, so, you know.
Yeah.
But I also, there's a slight question mark on whether it an offence that, that needs a custodial sentence.
All right, let's have a listen. Mm-hmm.
I did eat it. And then the next thing I know was you coming out of the studio and saying, I can't find my yoghurt anymore. And I froze. I literally froze.
To be fair,
yeah,
you did fess up.
So no, I can spot Sally Bozeman there.
Yeah, that's Sally Traffic. And what she did, she stole Josh Widdicombe's yoghurt without realising it was Josh Widdicombe's yoghurt. And he called her out on air. So that's what's happening.
He will do very little. That won't have been the end of it either with Josh.
Absolutely not. There will have been emails from agents. There would have been all sorts going on in the background there. I wouldn't have liked to.
Has she been checked on, Sally Bozeman? Is she all right?
Well,
has she been seen again? You're going to be sleeping with the fishes. My assumption is that it's a banana munch bunch yoghurt as well.
Yeah, it's not a grown-up yoghurt, is it? It's not. You're so right. Yeah. It's a frube or something like that. It's not a grown-up's yoghurt. You just know it.
Absolutely.
The thing I've got the question mark about is the meaning, the sort of semantics of the word froze, because she didn't literally freeze, as in, you know, became solid, changed her state because of a drop in temperature. Mm-hmm. However, is it freezing if you just stop still?
I would say it's freezing if you stop still because you are suspended while you freeze temperature-wise. So I think one comes from the other. I think you would only say you froze in terms of stillness because once something is frozen, it can't move.
Right.
So I'm the same as you. It doesn't give me any pleasure to...
Because it's figurative, isn't it? That's the thing. If she said, I figuratively froze...
Yeah, I froze. So she'd done it. She did it. She said I froze. And then she thought, oh, that's not enough.
Yeah.
She threw in a literally. And that's exactly the sort of thing we're trying to stop.
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
It's just that if I froze isn't enough, then perhaps the story isn't worth telling.
maybe she stole a frozen yoghurt. Does that help?
Oh, well, yeah, if the yoghurt froze, then she could have charged more for it. See, this is if they'd have workshopped it, I'm not criticising other broadcasters, but if they'd have just taken the time we have to work on the analogy,
they
could have done a whole frozen yoghurt riff, bang, you're into traffic and travel, then a tune, you've kept the listeners. As it is, they're listening to us now, and what we have to do is bang them up. Now that I've got myself riled up, Sally's going in, and Josh is going with her for not picking up on it.
Yep, too right.
Right, there you go. If you want me to lock up anybody else who has the temerity to do roughly the same job as I do, then you need to email the Literal Police on john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes. It's the final hour of our show. You've just heard the real news. Here is news that wasn't in the news that could or perhaps should have been in the news. This has got me riled right
You
up.
Were so riled while the news was on there, John.
Oh, well, because there is a sort of... We're playing a bit of a game here because obviously there's reasons certain things don't get in the news. You've got to be careful not to get duped by what is a PR exercise every now and again because obviously things get in the news because people want them talked about. This, I think... I don't quite know whether this was designed to get in the news or if they just picked up on it, but there is apparently a correct way to eat a banana. Now, I've got... One of our first bits of stand-up was about watching somebody eat an apple on a train in a way that upset me to this day.
How can you eat an apple? Like, surely, like, it fits in a hand and you just...
You eat round it. This person ate the core and the very bottom of the apple.
Oh, I eat the core. Does people not eat the core?
No, you don't eat the core of an apple, Angela.
I don't like waste. What?
Yeah, well, what do you eat? Do you eat the packet around your crisps? Where does this stop, Angela? I am particularly squeamish, right, around... I'm picky about certain things. And with a banana, I don't eat the very bottom bit of the banana. So I peel at the very bottom.
I know what you mean, the little almost sort of bead thing at the bottom.
Yeah, it's
tough. I give that to the dog.
A lucky dog.
Yeah.
I cut round bruises as well. Mm. That's more because I read a story about a bruise can sometimes be where a spider's climbed into the banana and laid its eggs. Oh. I think that probably happened once ever,
yeah.
And I've decided. But this is nonsense, right? So etiquette expert, which I question anyway, because yeah. I think...
Etiquette is a construct, like... It doesn't need to be a thing, etiquette, does it? It's something people have decided that's a right
exactly
way and that's
that.
A wrong way, and it's just stupid.
You're exactly right. And this is William Hanson, who is supposedly Britain's leading etiquette coach.
Right.
He's a
best-selling
author.
He would hate living with me. Oh, my goodness me. I'd give him stuff to write about.
They should do that. They should do. I'd pay to watch him. I say they should do swaps. It should just be him forced to go into situations he doesn't like being in.
Yeah.
If you watch the video of him eating this banana, so his suggestion is that you eat it. I'm going to say first and foremost, you eat it with a knife and fork,
no.
Which is craziness,
absolute insanity. They've got a thing to hold them. Like they're perfect portable food. Bananas. That's the
well,
whole
that's
point.
It. That already rules out eating a banana on public transport or at your desk or any of the places. You can't have a break at Wimbledon when somebody gets a knife and fork and a plate out to have a banana at change events.
Do you know what I'd like to see, John?
Ludicrous.
I'd like to see him tell that to a silverback gorilla. That's what I'd like to see him do. Yes.
That's probably going to be the end of the series. After he's lived with you. Living with you episode one. Then episode six is probably William Hanson explaining to a gorilla that it's eating a banana wrong. And we'll see how that ends up for both of them. But he slices the end off and then he cuts down. He basically eats it like a piece of fish. You know, like if you're having lemon sole or something
like
that.
Like he's filleting the fish.
It's exactly that. And I'm sort of annoyed at myself because he's done it for... He wants to get in the papers.
Yeah.
And he wants people like me to get all riled up and talk about it. But equally, once you've seen it, you can't not call it out.
That's the most attention-seeking behaviour, but it's blooming worked, isn't it?
All I'm saying, if you're around William Hanson in the next week or so... Pick a few bananas up on your way in. Eat them however you want. Mash them into your eyes. Just eat them with boxing gloves on. Absolutely. Jump up and down on it and lick it off the floor. Just do whatever you have to do.
But careful you don't slip on the skin.
They are very slippery. Yeah. So I see from my comedic research, I see you went to the same clown college as I. anyway, that's my note for you and William Hanson. There is no correct way to eat a banana, and that's coming from me, and I'm a pedant. So, Angela, what have you seen this week that made you think it should have been in the news?
I love this story. So this is right up my alley. This is a heartbroken woman in China whose
not,
name...
Not the start I was expecting. This is exactly the sort of thing I love. This is a woman in pieces.
Yes. Hang on a minute.
Life has fallen apart.
Let me be clear. That's not the bit of the story I love. I don't like people being heartbroken, John.
No, all right.
But
it's coming to all of you.
Ms. Zhao from China, and she got revenge. This is the bit I like. Because there's nothing like a bit of revenge. She sent her ex-boyfriend a ton of onions to make him cry as much as she did. See, it's poetic. It's not just a random, I'm just going to send a load of stuff to his house. She thought about that. She's gone, I've cried. What will make him cry? A ton of, I don't know how many onions are in a ton, but isn't that beautiful?
Well, I'd like to know, I mean, obviously it's not in the article. I'd like to know the context of the breakup. I'd like to know whether he deserved to have vengeance brought upon him.
I will say there is a bit in the article where it says that he broke up with the Chinese woman due to her, inverted commas, crazy behaviour. Make of that what you will. And there's this photo of him, though, which is kind of brilliant, of him just standing at his front door surrounded by bags of onions, scratching his head. It's quite a lot of onions, a ton, as it turns out.
I hope in a year's time we're discussing a story where he perfects his recipe for onion soup. And sets up a business.
And becomes a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that.
Oh, John.
I think, this is awful. Do you know what would happen? Is I would go to do that and I'd go to order the ton of onions and I'd put them in the basket and then I'd think, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot
it's
of money
very
on onions.
Calculated. I think when I have done things like that, it hasn't been that level of planning. It's been very in the heat of the moment. I've done things which I might have looked back on and regretted. There's some things I wouldn't talk about on air, but there's one particular one. And it wasn't that he dumped me or anything. I think it was, I really liked him and I didn't know how to tell him. And we were friends. And then he went on a date with this girl and we lived in the same halls of residence. Andy, if you're listening.
Oh, so you're an adult here.
I'm an adult, yeah. Yeah. Andy, if you're listening, I'm really sorry that I did this, but he went on this date and I was so sort of jealous and didn't know how to get my own back that he'd gone on a date with someone that wasn't me, that he'd left his bedroom door open. And so I emptied a bag of Frosties into his bed. Apparently it was great, but no, that wasn't just a setup to a joke. I promise that just occurred to me.
It was a long way.
But it's a true story. I did empty a packet of Frosties in his bed. I'm sorry, Andy.
Do you know what?
I also padlocked into a fridge once, but that's a different story.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're getting there. There's no two ways about this. We need to put a song on so I can hear all the stories that you don't want to tell on it, which I will then put into a tour, which will be travelling nationwide next year. So it's time on Absolute Radio to crown our golden rule giver for festivals.
Oh, yes. We've had a few more. This is a good one from Richard. This is a little tip. He says to bring some plastic bags or nappy sacks. As a veteran of many festivals, your clothes will get wet even if it's dry because it gets condensation-y in the tent. But now, I know you're an environmentalist, John, so I don't know if you've got...
You can get biodegradable.
Right, okay.
They're not 100% biodegradable. In a world where young people are leaving entire tents and everything they've brought to the festival behind, I will pardon a few biodegradable plastic bags. That sentence hit me very deep, though. I have to say, your things will get wet even if it's dry.
Yeah, because
that hit me deep.
In a tent, you get condensation, you see, so your stuff gets damp. But you could bring a bag for life and reuse it every year.
Yes, of course. Bring your little festival bag. Nothing nicer than a bag that's been locked up for a year that had your wet underpants in it last year.
Exactly. Oh, if any luck, you'll open it the following year, there'll still be some pants in it.
I can't see it getting golden rule, but it's well up there.
Okay. Have you got any more?
Yes, I've got one that switches from the sort of pleasing, practical and helpful that you seem to be dealing with to the slightly misanthropic that I deal with. Gary says, find a hotel nearby, hire a car, shuttle to and fro.
Oh, Gary.
Love it. Yeah,
If you can, good luck. If you're a millionaire, you might get a hotel nearby a festival.
Also, it's a lot of admin, isn't it? Getting on and off site every day, especially if it's raining.
It's so hard to get on and off. Like, you're often parked miles away from where the good stuff is, you know. Yeah. So
I'm going to give out my last one because I think Gary's tip really is leading to Paul's tip. So I've had one in from Paul. Gary is the sort of loosener. Paul says, why not wait until the four or five bands that you actually like go on tour in your town and have five separate nights out instead of one weekend in the mud, tolerating other bands that you don't like and people using quote-unquote festival spirit to act like idiots to get to hear the bands you like?
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue with that, even though, you know, I'm an ex-festival fan. I'm not so much anymore. I'm too old. But... I feel too old. I enjoyed it. It was a thing for my teens and 20s. I loved it then. Now it just makes me cross.
I'm going the other way.
Yeah?
I'm going to go in my 70s and 80s is going to be my peak festival time, I think.
Like the old hippies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of a tent, I'm going to bring a portaloo. I'm going to watch the whole festival from a portaloo with a little like saloon doors on it.
That's right. By then, you'll have a nappy. You'll be fine.
Right. Last one. Okay, and then we'll crown a golden rule.
This is Gavin. He says, this is more me than you, I think, John, this one. Mm-hmm. Says, only rule is don't moan about festivals if you don't like them or haven't got a ticket. It's not a human right to go to Glastonbury and no one wants to know your opinion on the lineup and how it was better before when you could scale the fences, etc. So, yeah, that's Gavin says don't moan about it. You either, if you want to go, if you don't, that's fine.
I totally agree with that. It's why I don't go, because nobody wants to be the person there anymore. It's a lovely rule. Highlights for me, when we're crowning a golden rule, don't camp near the toilets. I think it's just good practical advice. On the grounds that we had some really good ones for public transport and ended up giving it to, you can do what you like so long as you've got a ferret or a koala or whatever it was with you. I'm tempted to give it to Mandy, whose one piece of advice was bring a watermelon.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
I like the idea of 200,000 people turning up at a festival with watermelons. Lizzie's no alcohol till the tent is up. That was good.
Yeah. That's good advice for life, that.
Just to have a little bit of hate in there, because it's what I do. It's hard to see behind your suggestion, and it was also backed up by Sam to say, no musical instruments on site.
Absolutely. Unless you are hired by the festival to play at the festival.
That's it. That's our golden rule for festivals. It comes from Sam. It's backed up by Angela. If you're going to a festival, have a great time. Watch the bands. Don't ruin it with your own pathetic efforts. As you may have heard this week, Absolute Radio is now the home of Britpop Summer.
Oh, it's so exciting for someone my age.
It is, isn't it?
It is. That was my summer.
All the best. Is it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I was, what, 1996 or whenever, 95? Yeah. I was a teenager, my late teens. What was I, 18, 19?
Yeah.
Ah, best
living the dream.
Time. Living the dream. Was at university, going to loads of gigs.
Well, I thought what might be fun, because everybody's talking about, obviously, the tunes and the tracks and the bands involved. I'll be honest, I was 14 at that point. I don't have a lot to say about, I wish I could say, oh yeah, I'll tell you what, I was at Nebworth and I turned up on my old rally chopper. I can't tell you exactly what I was doing at certain dates because I have diaries from that point.
I'd love to read your teenage diaries.
Well, you wouldn't. And if you did, they would be heavily redacted. However, I can tell you, so I thought it'd be good to talk about 21st of August 1997. That's the day Oasis released Be Here Now.
That
Oasis
would have been just my summer holidays at university. Yes. I had been working. Oh. I was working in a bar on the beach in Brighton that summer.
Oh, just sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was.
Were you happy?
Summer, that. I was happy that summer. I was, yeah.
I have to remind myself, because sometimes you sort of read about your own childhood. It's difficult to have context. You don't know what other people are feeling.
Just to make you feel slightly better, I wasn't happy when I was 14.
Okay, good. Well, I'll tell you what I was doing, because I can read to you what I was doing on the end of August 1997. Let's go back in time with what producer Will informs me is the sound of a time machine.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
Some old reel cassette being rewinded.
That was interesting.
So I've got my copy of What's the Story, and I've got a few of the CDs I bought at the time.
Yeah.
Still got those.
Great.
I've kept an inordinate amount of stuff. What's happening? So I've just had my first like proper summer holiday. So I've just been to Torquay.
Aye!
There
Will's
we go.
Neck of the woods.
Just been camping in Torquay, met a girl there.
Is this a holiday romance?
Well, you tell me. She's got a boyfriend. Let me tell you who does like me. Her parents. So I spend a lot of time.
That's what a girl wants, isn't it? Someone their parents likes.
I spend a lot of time playing board games in their caravan. And their mum and dad are basically saying, this lad's lovely. He tidies up after himself. He arrives with biscuits. I took her to see Men in Black at the cinema.
Oh, John.
We came out and it was raining, so I offered her my jacket. She gave me a peck on the cheek. And that what follows is months and months of an obsession that I think wasn't healthy for me. So I've written, sorry I didn't write you for the last two nights. So I've actually written this on the 22nd.
I mean, I'm going to get the grammar police out for that one, but that's for later.
Sorry I didn't write you for the last two nights, but I slept downstairs on Tuesday because just as I was settling down to write the diary, there was a huge daddy long legs dans ma chambre. Just practicing the French there. Showing off the old
John,
French.
I got confused. This is your diary. I thought you were writing a letter to her then for a minute. This is
your
diary.
No, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. So just to be clear, there's a daddy long legs in my room, so I've slept on the couch for two nights.
What a man.
What a man. Can you see why she wasn't interested in me? Clearly a protector provider. I am probably a little bit drunk and wrote her another letter telling her how I really feel. Here's a quote. I love you more than words can say, or my life is worth. I would die for you in a second.
Oh, my God. John.
Just to be clear, I took her to see Men in Black. And she kissed me on the cheek. And her mum and dad liked me. Maybe I just needed to tell her how I feel in the hope that it would make me feel better. It hasn't. I feel sick. See you tomorrow.
Oh,
there we go. So
John.
A great time for Oasis, really. seminal moment in Britpop history. And a young man is at the beginning of what will be a very tense relationship with a girl who does not respond to his letters, stops answering his phone calls, and eventually gets her boyfriend to answer the phone and tell him to stop ringing the house.
Oh, John.
It's the Britpop summer on Absolute Radio. with John Richardson. We will be returning to different eras of the Britpop.
Oh my God, I'm going to dive into the archives of my brain and, oh my word.
Yeah,
it was a time, wasn't it? Young teens, it was a time.
We will be back. We have crowned our golden rule for behaviour at festivals. If you're off to a festival, remember to adhere to it. No musical instruments, please. No music at the festivals.
Just to clarify, if you are in a band playing at the festival, you are allowed a musical instrument, right?
Well,
we keep it vague. Depends on the band.
Your word's not mine. Thank you for your I love you butts. Thank you for your golden rules. Thank you for all the corrections. The unfinished business at the start of the show seems to have been people picking me up on mistakes I made the week before, but we welcome that. Keep those coming in. John at absoluteradio.co.uk. The entire show is available as a podcast if you missed bits of it or you want to re-listen. We need a title for that podcast, Angela.
Absolutely horrific. That's my choice.
Yeah.
If I saw a podcast pop up in my feed that said just absolutely horrific, I'd want to listen to that car crash, wouldn't you?
I was going to go for either The Gentle Way from, I think, Andy earlier. Bring a watermelon, which I think is just good advice for life.
Nice. Budapest from your brilliant joke at the start. Yeah.
Yeah. Portafil line. Referencing something that I don't think we'll go back into. Let's go with absolutely.
Want us to revisit that.
No, absolutely not. Let's go with absolutely horrific. We'll be available wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back next week with more. Sarah Champion up next. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Charlie. Have a wonderful week.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
There we go. That was absolutely horrific. This
is the start title of the podcast or just your review?
It's just a bit of everything. It's how my soul is feeling at the moment.
Oh, John.
We probably shouldn't call the podcast like absolute dross or whatever every week.
it's a new absolute station.
Yeah. If you're sick of the 90s, why not listen to Absolute Dross with me, John Richardson, on 24/7. We will be back next week. So if you're smug about anything, if you want to have our one and only dedication, I love you, but or if you want to join in on the Britpop summer with anything you were doing that wasn't being at Nebworth or some iconic shows or going to festivals, I'd love to hear. I basically want to know that other people had as tragic a time in the 90s as I did.
Oh, wouldn't it be hilarious if not a single person can say that? It's just you, John.
I think you say hilarious. I think sadly likely is the thing. But it's John at absoluteradio.co.uk if you want to get in touch. Have a fantastic week. Thanks for downloading. Bye.